Anyway, as you like. Ek dina acharya prabhur kaila dhyamantrana kare bhata kare kare vivida bhyanjana. One day, Bhagavan Acharya invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to dine at his home. Thus he was preparing rice and various types of vegetables. Oh, that's a whole other pastime. Anyway, that's that little section there. Brahma Shabde Mukhya Arte Kahe Bhagavan Chirai Shvarya Paripurna Anurdva Saman. According to direct understanding, the Absolute Truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has all spiritual appearances. No one can be equal to or greater than Him. Tanhara Vibhuti Deha Sabha Chid Akara Chid Vibhuti Achari Tanre Kahe Mirakara. This is very important. Mirakara. As my body say, Nirakara means without form. Everything about the Supreme Personality of Godhead is spiritual, including His body, opulence, and paraphernalia. Mayavad philosophy, however, covering His spiritual opulence, advocates the theory of impersonalism. This is all Lord Chaitanya is speaking now. He, in other words, he presents the Mayavad philosophy and he defeats it. This is all this. This one, all of them, or just this one? This is Adi Leela, chapter 7, verse 111. No, what did I say? Verse 112. Tanhara vibhuti deha sab chidakar. Chid vibhuti achari tanre kahi nirakar. Chidakar and nirakar. They say without form, and we say with form. Purport. It is stated in the Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, has a spiritual body which is full of knowledge, eternity, and bliss. In this material world, everyone's body is just the opposite. What is the body then? What is the body? Asat, Achit, and Nirananda. It is temporary, Asat. And Achit, full of ignorance, without knowledge. Achit. And Nirananda means there's no ananda, no bliss. Those are the terms that you use. In this material, oh, we said that. Therefore, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead is sometimes described as Nirakar, this is to indicate that He does not have a material body like us. Because like in the Vedas, the Vedanta Sutra, it says that the Supreme Absolute Truth is Nirakar. So then my body says, look, it says He's Nirakar, He has no body. So how do you Vaishnava say He has a body? We say, yes, He has no material body. He has a spiritual body. Satchit Ananda Vigraha. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha. They just say Satchit Ananda, but they just say that God is Satchit Ananda, right? And their names are Swami Satchit Ananda, Om Narayan, Satchit Ananda Maharaj. God is one. God is in light. The indivisible, undifferentiated, all-pervading light. Please surrender to me and you will become the indivisible, undifferentiated, all-pervading light. For light years and light years and light years you will exist. I met all these people. Mayavadi philosophers do not know how it is that the Supreme Personality of God is formless. The Supreme Lord does not have a form like ours, but has a spiritual form. Not knowing this, Mayavadi philosophers simply advocate the one-sided view that the Supreme Godhead or Brahman is formless, Nirakar. In this connection, Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes many Vedic literature, offers many quotes from Vedic literature. If one accepts the real or direct meaning of these Vedic statements, one can understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has a spiritual body, Satchit Ananda Vigraha. In the Brihad Aranya Upanishad, it is said, Purnam Ada Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Udachate. This indicates that the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is spiritual, for even though He expands in many ways, He remains the same. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Aham Savasya Prabhavo Mata Savam Prabharatate. I am the origin of all. Everything emanates from me. Mayavadi philosophers materialistically think that if the Supreme Truth expands Himself into everything, He must lose His original form. Thus they think that there cannot be any form other than the expansive, gigantic body of the Lord. But the mantra of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad confirms Purnam Idam, Purnam Purnat Purnam Udachate. Although he expands in many ways, he still keeps his original personality. His original spiritual body remains as it is. Similarly, in the Svetashvatara Upanishad, it is said, Vichitra Shakti Purusha Purana. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original person, Purusha, which means person, has multifarious energies. Sabriksha Kala Kritibi Paronyan Yasmat Prapancha Paribhartate Yam Dharmavaham Papanudam Bhagesham. He is the origin of material creation, and it is due to him only that everything exists. He is the protector of religion and annihilator of all sinful activities. He is the master of all opulences. Vedaham metam purusham mahantam adityavarnam tamasa parastat. Now I understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be the greatest of the great. He is effulgent like the sun and is beyond the material world. Patim patinam paramam parastat. He is the master of all masters, the superior of all superiors. Mahan prabhur vai purusha. These are all shlokas from this book that's mentioned. He is the supreme master and supreme person. Purashi shaktir vivadayushu yate. We can understand his opulence in different ways. So these are all quotes from Svetashvara Upanishad. Similarly, in the Rig Veda, it is stated, Tad Vishnu Paramam Param Sada Pashyanti Suryo. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Param Sada Pashyanti Suryo. Trijiva Chakshutam Tadi Praso Vipanivo Trijivam Sa Saminate Vishnu Yatanam Param. It says, Vishnu is the supreme, and those who are actually learned think only of his lotus feet. And the Prashna Upanishad, it says, Ishan Chakre, he glanced over the material creation. Thus, many verses can be quoted from the Upanishads and Vedas which prove that the Supreme God is not impersonal. In the Katha Upanishad, it also says, Nityo Nityananam Chaitanas Chaitananam Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadapti Kaman. He is the Supreme Eternally Conscious Person who maintains all other living entities. From all these Vedic references, one can understand that the Absolute Truth is a person, although no one can equal or excel him. Although there are many foolish Mayavadi philosophers who think that they are even greater than Krishna, Krishna is Asam Urdhva. No one is equal to or above him. As stated in the Svetashvatara Upanishad, Apani Paro Jhavano Grahita. The Absolute Truth has no legs or hands. Although this is an impersonal description, however, it does not mean that the Absolute Personality of God has no form. He has a spiritual form, which is distinct from the forms of matter. And this verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu clarifies this distinction. Let's read on. I'm into it. What, you have a question?
Yeah.
Ask your question.
Something comes to my mind, like before you were saying, we should always take the direct meaning. So now that we're reading that the Absolute Truth has no form, and now we understand that this actually means, we need some explanation, but that actually means he has no material form. But the direct, the first understanding would be he has no form.
Well, that's what it was said earlier. So sometimes, in some cases, you have to take indirect meaning. So some of these, you have to, like that, you have no form, you have to take the indirect meaning. Or we're taking the indirect meaning, the Vaishnavas. But then there's other ones which explain the direct meaning, right? You use Nityana, Nityana, Chaitanya. You know, they talk about this one here, Yovadadati Kaman. Conscious, there's an eternal, supreme eternal among all eternals. You can say that, but the majority of these verses, the direct meaning indicates the personality of God, because words like Purusha means person. But the Mayavadis, they don't even deal with the ones that indicate any the shlokas that indicate that there's a person involved. They don't even deal with them. They just take the ones that are impersonal and say, this is it, this is the Absolute Truth. And they don't even, in other words, we present all the Vaishnava's conception, they present all the shlokas from Upanishads. and all the direct ones, the majority of them, indicate the personality of Godhead. And then a few of them, which can be, indicate, you could say, the impersonality of Lord, that's the only ones the Mayavadi views take. And they ignore all the rest. So those, we also present those, but then we do give an indirect meaning to those. So, you're right, but that indirect meaning is simply, in other words, you have 100 shlokas, for example. Let's say you have 100 shlokas. 98 of those shlokas talk about the personality of Godhead. Alright? And direct meaning, now there's 2 shlokas out of the 100 that are presented with the wording that seems to indicate impersonal, arupam and whatever. But they're coming in a flow, so actually, if these 98 are indicating, the majority of the shlokas, 98 are talking about the personality of Godhead, these 2 are also talking about the personality of Godhead, but you have to give an indirect meaning to actually connect it all together so that you show that all 100 verses are talking about the personality of Godhead. And so somehow or other, that these 2 are put in there, maybe for the Mayavadis to have something to chew on, and they have to eat something too. So, and then, but then they take the 98 and say, I don't know about those. Here's the 2. This is the one. And they hold their whole philosophy on that. So we take those 2, which are the minority, and we give some, what you may call an indirect interpretation to it, to show the personality. But actually, it's not, even in that case, it's not really indirect, because it's all part of the same presentation of the personality of God, but it's just the wording isn't such, it's such that it appears that it's, and in other words, it appears that we're interpreting it. But actually, what the intention of the writers of those shastras are, because they're all devotees, they're all personalists. The whole day, Vyasadeva is a personalist. He's not impersonal. He wrote all those shastras. The purpose, a personalist, he believes in the personality of God. The purpose of those shastras is actually that he to let everyone know he doesn't have a material body. His body is not material. He is, that's the whole idea that it's presented like that.
The Vedanta Sutra is like that because we haven't studied
the whole Vedanta Sutra. You just see in the Bhagavatam the different verses are used. There's only, because the Mayavadi philosophy itself is only based on about 10 sutras. Tattvamasi, Tattvamasi, Janmanyasi Yataha, Sarvakalmanidam Brahma.
No, the
Mayavadi's whole philosophy is based on a few sutras which are basically neutral or impersonal, you could say. Like Tattvamasi, Sarvakalmanidam Brahma. These are all.
But I heard that on some example, they only take the first 6 chapters out of 5
teachings. Yeah, well, that's. Yeah, it's the other thing, and that's true, because it's yoga, it's just yoga. They don't deal with bhakti. Chapter 7 through 12 is bhakti. And the last chapters from 13 on are also the same as the first 6, basically. Gyan yoga. It's a partial presentation. That's basically the idea. Okay, next verse. Did I read it already? Shirananda Teno Tana Stana Parivar Tanre Kahe Prakrita Sattvara Vikar. The Supreme Personality of God is full of spiritual potencies. Therefore, His body, name, fame, and entourage are all spiritual. The Mayavadi philosopher, due to ignorance, says that these are all merely transformations of the material mode of goodness. In the Bhagavad Gita 7th chapter, which they don't deal with, it says that the Supreme Personality of God is classified as 2 energies and 2 distinct divisions, Prakrita and Aprakrita, Paraprakriti and Apara-prakriti. In the Vishnu Purana, the same distinction is made. The Mayavadi philosophers cannot understand these 2 Prakritis or natures, material and spiritual, but one who is actually intelligent can understand them. Considering the many varieties and activities in material nature, why should the Mayavadi philosophers deny the spiritual varieties of the spiritual world? The Bhagavatam says, Yen ye ramandaksha vimuktimaninas, tvayastabhavadavashudabuddhiya. The intelligence of those who think themselves liberated but have no information on the spiritual world is not yet clear. In this verse, the term avishudabuddhiya refers to unclean intelligence. Due to unclean intelligence or a poor fund of knowledge, Mayavadi philosophers cannot understand the distinction between material and spiritual varieties. Therefore, they cannot even think of spiritual varieties because they take it for granted that all variety is material. That's why, in other words, they say all this is temporary, this world is temporary, and there's so much variety here, but ultimately the absolute truth has no variety. This is just Maya. Variety is Maya. And ultimately it's undifferentiated. The word undifferentiated means no variety. So you say the absolute truth, ultimately there's no variety, it's just some temporary. So actually, you know, Maya, this world, is more than Brahman. There's more here than there is in Brahman. It's like there's so much variety, so much variation. You know, and it all came from nothing. Something came from nothing. Anyway, we can read on. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore explains in this verse that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or the Absolute Truth, has a spiritual body which is distinct from material bodies, and thus his name, abode, entourage, and qualities are all spiritual. The material mode of goodness has nothing to do with spiritual varieties. Mayavadi philosophers cannot clearly understand spiritual varieties. Therefore, they imagine a negation of the material world to be the spiritual world. The material qualities of goodness, passion, and ignorance cannot act in the spiritual world, which is therefore called nirguna, as clearly indicated in the Bhagavad Gita, Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nishtrigunya Bhavarjuna. The material world is a manifestation of the three modes of material nature, but one has to become free from these modes to come to the spiritual world where their influence is completely absent. Now Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will disassociate Lord Shiva from Mayavad philosophy in the following verse. In other words, he doesn't want to give Lord Shiva a bad name, because it sounds like, oh, why Lord Shiva mislead everyone and like that. Tanra dosha nahi teno agya karidas araye shunetara haya sarvanash. Shankaracharya, who is an incarnation of Lord Shiva, is faultless because he is a servant carrying out the orders of the Lord. But those who follow his Mayavadi philosophy are doomed. They will lose all their advancement in spiritual knowledge. So we'll continue there tomorrow. Maybe a little drive or somewhere. I like it, actually. I haven't heard this in a long time. It's long, long purport. Because so what's happened is, I mean, this is just a warm-up. Really haven't started discussing Mayavadi philosophy yet. At some point. But they talk about the theory of transformation. Parinamvad is a big thing in Mayavadi philosophy. If you ever study any Mayavadi philosophy, Parinamvad, how this world is just a transformation of Brahman. This is right. Brahman is formless and this is just a transformation. So what is that transformation? There's a whole discussion. Parinamvad. Transformation of energy. Not that we can understand very much, but we're hearing. Let's see. What about the Bhagavatam verse? Where does that fit in? I guess. What was that? How did that come up? That was in the Chaitanya Charitamrita or something?
Yeah, it was closer because it's more 46 of verse
now. Oh, right. Right, right. That was it. So when earlier on, when Lord Chaitanya first met the Mayavadi philosophers, he was explaining how his spiritual master, Ishwarapuri, told him simply to chant the holy name. Remain a fool before your spiritual master and simply chant the holy name. And so I've done that faithfully. And then he also, and I've become like a madman through the influence of the holy name. But he instructed me on the Bhagavatarasara. You were here yesterday? Yeah. And then and he instructed me on the essence of the Bhagavatam. There's 18,000 verses in the Bhagavatam. And my Guru Maharaj, he said that, what was it? It was like more than just, he said, this is the essence of the essence or something.
Mm-hmm.
This is the very essence of the Bhagavatam, this verse. And we read it, and it was in a purport. But it's nicely presented here in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 2, text 40. Instructions of Maharaj Nimi. Evam vrata sapriyanama kirtya chatana rago drudachitu chai asatyato roduti roti gayat yunmadavan rityati lokabaya. Please repeat. Evam vrata.
Evam vrata.
One engage in the vow to chant and dance.
One engaged in the vow to chant and
dance. Swapriya.
Swapriya.
Swapriyanam.
Swapriyanam.
His own very dear holy name.
His own very dear holy name.
Kirtya.
Kirtya.
By chanting.
By chanting.
Jata.
Jata.
In this way develops.
In this way develops.
Anurag.
Anurag.
Attachment.
Attachment.
Jutta chitta.
Jutta chitta.
With a melted heart.
With a melted heart.
Everyone's falling asleep. Too stuffy in here?
Open the window, too,
for this stuff. It is hot also. Uchai.
Loudly.
Hasati.
What
does that mean? Laugh. Ato.
Also.
Rodati.
Rodati.
What does that mean? Rona or Rodati or like a Rudras. Yeah, but Rona means, Rodati means cry. Rodati means cry. Rauti becomes agitated. Gayati. Chant. Unmadvat.
Like a madman.
Nrityati.
Dancing.
Loka Bhaya.
Without caring for outsiders.
Translation. By chanting the holy name of the Supreme Lord, one comes to the stage of anurag, love of Godhead. Then the devotee is fixed in his vow as an eternal servant of the Lord, and he gradually becomes very much attached to a particular name and form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As his heart melts in ecstatic love, he laughs very loudly or cries or shouts. Sometimes he sings and dances like a madman, for he's indifferent to public opinion. This verse is describing pure love of God. Sridhar Swami has described this spiritual situation as samprapta prema lakshana, samprapta prema lakshana bhakti yogasya samsara dharmatitam gatim, or the perfectional stage of life in which one's devotional service to the Supreme Lord is enriched by ecstatic love. At that time, one's spiritual duties are entirely beyond the scope of worldly affairs. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 778, there's the following statement by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which we read the other way around. Daryadara jinari hailama unmata hasikandi nachigai yachik madamata. While chanting the holy name of the Lord in pure ecstasy, I lose myself. I laugh, cry, dance, and sing like a madman. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is going the other way around, immediately approached his spiritual master to ask him why he had apparently become mad by chanting the holy name of Krishna. His guru replied, Krishna nama mahamantra, eta sabhav, ye japetara Krishna upajaya bhav. It is the nature of the Hare Krishna mahamantra that anyone who chants it immediately develops his loving ecstasy for Krishna. Prabhupada comments. Oh, we read that only yesterday. Anyway, about how the people in India are astonished to see the Western devotees dancing and all that. Now, next, another story. Srila Bhakti Santa Saraswati has warned us in this regard about the ungodly sahajiyas, who imitate the pastimes of the Supreme Lord in an unauthorized way, neglecting the standard injunctions of Vedic scriptures. Foolishly try to take the position of Krishna as Purushottam, and thus making a cheap farce of the exalted pastimes of the Lord. Their so-called ecstatic symptoms, like crying, shivering, and falling on the ground, are not to be confused with the advanced features of devotional service described by Sridhar Swami as samprapta prema lakshana bhakti yoga. One who has attained this bhava stage is no longer under the clutches of the illusory energy. Similarly, Krishnadas Kaviraj states, panchama purushartha premanandamrita sindhu mokshadi ananda jara nahi eka bindu. Again, we read that yesterday. One exhibits the ecstatic symptoms of love of God when he is asanga, free from all attachment to material sense gratification. The word in this verse, lokabhaya, indicates that a pure devotee on the platform of prema, along with God, is not at all concerned with ridicule, praise, respect, or criticism from ordinary people in the bodily concept of life. Krishna is the absolute truth, the supreme personality of God, and when he reveals himself to a surrendered servant, all doubt and speculation about the nature of the absolute truth are vanquished forever. When he reveals himself to a surrendered servant, all doubt and speculation about the nature of the absolute truth are vanquished forever. So what is the process of, to attain revelation of the Lord? What is the verse that describes that? Yeah, that's there. There's a verse that describes it. Atatsi Krishna Namadi Namadi Dreyam Indre Seva Mukhe Jivado Swayam Eva Spuras Yada. Remember Spurti, Spurade? We had that word Spurade before. Spurti. You get the knowledge and you get enters your mind and your heart and you realize it and you see. So Sri Krishna Namadi Navade Grahamindri Sevan Mukhein Jivado Swayam Eva Swayam. Swayam Bhagavan Krishna will be seen when we engage in what, like you said, Sri Krishna Namadi, beginning with the name Swanam Priyakrit, that's later, but begin with the Hare Krishna Mantra. And Sri Krishna Navade Grahamindri, the senses will become controlled in that way. By taking the holy name, we control the senses. And gradually, Atatsi Krishna Namadi, Nabhava Kremendre, Seva Mukhe Jivado. Seva Mukhe Jivado. So our Jiva, what's a Jiva? The Govardhan Jiva at Shamakund, right? The Giriraj tongue, the tongue of Govardhan. So Seva Mukhe Jivado. So we have two things we have to do. We have to engage our tongue in service. We glorify the Lord, we chant His name, we take prasadam. By taking prasadam, honoring prasadam and chanting the Lord's name, we become purified. Eventually we'll actually see the Lord, have darshan the Lord. And at that point, of course the Lord can reveal himself in different ways. Because even before you have saksha darshan the Lord, your doubts will be removed. Because he'll reveal himself by illuminating your mind with knowledge, illuminating your intelligence with light. We say illumination. Illumination means to be in the lumen. Lumen means light. So illumination means to be in the light. Light means knowledge. Darkness is ignorance. So the first manifestation of the presence of the Lord, or the first darshan of the Lord, is the tattva darshan, the darshan of tattva. Tattva means the truth. You'll see the truth within yourself. You'll see that, yes, this is the truth. You'll see it. So that'll come to the surrendered soul. He'll reveal himself to a surrendered servant, and all doubts and speculation about the nature of the absolute are vanquished forever. In this connection, Sripad Madhvacharya has quoted the verse in Vraha Purana, Ke chit umaravad bhakta bhayalinga pradarshakaha Ke chit antara bhakta syu Ke chit kai vaba yakmakaha Mukha prasadad dardasya Bhaktya gyaya sachanyataha. Some devotees of the Lord exhibit external symptoms, acting like madmen. Others are introspective devotees. And still others. And still others partake of both natures. It is by one's steadfastness and by the merciful vibrations emanating from one's mouth that one. That's an incredible shloka here. This is by Madhvacharya. No, it's. It's from the Varaha Purana. He's saying that Mukha Prasad Dardyatcha Bhaktir Gayachan. He says, it is by one's steadfastness and by the merciful vibrations emanating from one's mouth that one's devotion can be judged, not otherwise. In other words, we often say, how do you judge a man in general? The Prabhupada said, you can judge an ordinary man by two things. What are those two things? Not this verse. I'm saying ordinary. I'm saying ordinary man, not this verse.
What is the difference?
How can you judge an ordinary man? According to Prabhupada. He said, you can judge an ordinary man by what he eats and what he says. And he doesn't say anything, but you see him eating all kinds of unmentionable things, and you can make some judgment. He's in Tamagun. He's a carnivore. Tyrannosaurus Rex. What is it? That's one thing. And then when he speaks, and maybe you don't see him eat, you know, but you haven't seen him eat anything yet, but he speaks. All kinds of nonsense. And he says, oh, he's nonsense personality. Where's that lighter? You like that one too. Let me see the lighter. Oh, I have one here. Wait a minute. So here we can judge, we're talking about devotees now. We can judge a devotee by his steadfastness and by the merciful vibrations emanating from one's mouth. I mean, sometimes some pretty unmerciful vibrations emanate from a devotee's mouth. One's devotion can be judged. So what is the content of his speaking? What is he always speaking about? And how steady is he? Steadfastness means his steadiness in Krishna consciousness. He's a very steady devotee and always speaking about Krishna. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has given a very nice example to illustrate ecstatic laughing and other symptoms of love of Godhead. Oh, that thief Krishna, the son of Yashoda, has entered the house to steal fresh butter. Sounds like what we were talking last night. Grab him, keep him away. Hearing these menacing words spoken by the elderly gopi Jarati, Krishna immediately prepares to leave the house. The devotee to whom this transcendental pastime is revealed laughs in ecstasy, but suddenly he can no longer see Krishna. He then cries in great lamentation, oh, I achieved the greatest fortune in the world, and now it has suddenly slipped from my hands. Thus the devotee cries loudly, oh, my Lord, where are you? Give me your answer. The Lord replies, my dear devotee, I heard your loud crying, so I have again come before you. Upon seeing Lord Krishna again, the devotee begins to sing, oh, today my life has become perfect. Thus, overwhelmed with transcendental bliss, he begins to dance like a madman. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur also notes that the word druta chitta, which means melted heart, indicates that one's heart melted by the fire of anxiety. Like fire melts things, right? You want to melt something, you put fire to it and you can melt it. If you have iron or steel, you want to turn it into, you put the heat under it, then it melts, it becomes liquid. Or butter, put the heat under it, it becomes liquid. That when your heart is melted by the fire of anxiety to see the Lord, the heart becomes like the Jambunadi River, a river of rose apple juice. Jambunadi is a river. Nadi means river, and Jambu is a river of rose apple juice. The Acharya further points out that Nam Kirtanasya Sarvokarsham means the present and previous words clearly distinguish the exalted position of Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, chanting and hearing the name and glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhakti Sandhya Saraswati says, let the garrulous populace, I don't know what that means, garrulous, generally, say whatever they like, we shall pay them no regard. Thoroughly maddened by the ecstasy of the intoxicating beverage of love for Krishna, we shall enjoy life running about, rolling on the ground, and dancing in ecstasy. It's a verse from the Padyavali, number 73. So, this is a very wonderful verse. Evam Vrata Supriyanam Akirtya describes, as we heard in the first line of the purport, pure love of God is described. This is Canto 11, Chapter 2, Text 40. Evam Vrata Supriyanam Akirtya. We've read commentaries, or we've read some discussions by other Gaudiya Vaishnavacharyas where they quote this verse to refer to the idea that a devotee, he may, when he begins his sadhana, he begins chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. And then after some time, when it becomes revealed to him whom his personal Ishtadev is, Gopinath or Shamsundar or Giridhari, you know, has darshan of the Lord, or he becomes particularly attached to a particular form. Of course, Krishna and Giridhari are the same, there's no difference. But one particular name of the Lord may become very dear to him. And so therefore he's always saying Gopinath, Gopinath, Radharaman, Jai Damodar, Jai Damodar, 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 Damodar. Just like a Damodar temple in Sevakunj. Those Goswamis there, the deities are Radha Damodar, and everything's Damodar. They're always talking about Damodar, Damodar, my Damodar, my Damodar. When they're little, when they're very little there, when they grow up, the boys are growing up there, they think of Damodar and Radharani as their mother and father. They kind of get this conception, they grow, oh, Damodar, yeah, Damodar is my father. Because they're taught that everything's the mercy of Damodar. And when they're little, they want to get something, and then their father would say, well, you have to Damodar, you have to pray to Damodar. They go to the deities and they pray to Damodar. So it becomes this Swapriyanam. Their Priyanam, their very dear name, becomes this Damodar, the form and name. So then they grow up and they go to school and they have to take tests, and then they say, Dad, I have to take this big test. Oh, pray to Damodar. Oh, Damodar, Damodar, oh, Damodar, please help me, Damodar. So in this way, they kind of develop an attachment for one particular name of the Lord and one form of the Lord. So this is the that's why it says Swapriyanama Kirtya. It says one's own. Swapriyanama. It doesn't say the Maha Mantra. It says Evam Pratap. So that someone may come to the point as they advance in Krishna consciousness where they're just over and over just chanting the name of their Ishtadev, their Thakur Dev, Thakurji, over and again. Sham, 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 sham. Like sometimes in Nitya Lila we hear that Srimati Radharani in separation from Krishna, she's chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. She also chants Hare Krishna. And Krishna is the same. He also chants. But moreover, generally they'll have a very dear Priyanam. Priyanam means very dear, very affectionate, very loving name that's particularly appealing to them. And they'll chant that over and over again. Sham, sham, or shama, shama. Like that. Priyaji, Priyaji, Priyaji. It's like when Krishna sometimes when he's with Chandravali, like you asked about Chandravali. He's with Chandravali and he comes and enjoying with her, and he's away from Radharani, but even though he's with Chandravali, Krishna's thinking of Radharani, so sometimes he says, oh, Priyaji, Priyaji. And Chandravali, he knows that that's actually one of the dear names of Radharani. And that she's, but she tolerates it because she's ducky and she's like, she's the right wing, she's submissive to Krishna, and she's happy that Krishna's with her, so she just doesn't hear it. You can imagine if you were with someone, and then you can imagine what it would be like, if you're with some person and you're in an intimate situation like that, and you start calling the name of someone else, like a husband and wife or something, husband's name is John, and he's with his wife, and his wife's saying, William, and the husband's saying, who's William anyway? Or who's Frank? Or he's saying, oh, Frank, and then the husband's saying, wait a minute, who's this Frank anyway? Oh, I don't know, frankly speaking, I was just, she's very clever. She'll say, well, frankly speaking, it's nobody. It's nobody's name. It's just how I speak. It's a matter of, frankly speaking. So the husband may be a little disturbed. So Chandravali, she doesn't get disturbed, even though she knows. She goes, anyway, let him call me whatever he likes. At least he's here and I'm able to render service and have a wonderful association. So this is a very wonderful verse. It's often cited how that one that this name that one develops his love for this name is Anurag, and when he chants this name, when he chants the name Sham or Shama or Radharani or Giridhari Sham or something, he feels very great ecstasy in his heart because that name immediately reveals the very personal form of his beloved Thakurji, because everything's very personal and individual in the spiritual world. And I mean, Hare Krishna mantra includes everything. Radha and Krishna are there, but it's not that Radharani goes around all day saying Krishna, Krishna, Sri Krishna, Sri Krishna, Sri Krishna, or that Krishna goes around all day and says Radharani, Radharani, or Srimati Radharani, Srimati Radharani, Srimati Radharani. No, they have so many wonderful and intimate names that they call each other. And so devotees who have become like this is describing pure love of God, when we come to that platform, there may be particular names of the Lord that are very, very attractive and very consuming for the devotee. They consume his mind and attract his heart. And so he may chant these names, and when he chants these names, he may disregard all public opinion and outsiders and roll on the ground and unmanvan nirtati lokabhaya. May dance without caring and look like a madman, unmad, completely mad. You know, we have kam krodh, lobh, moha, matsarya, mada matsarya, moha. So matsarya, moha means illusion. Mata means mad, and unmad means completely or totally mad. When that prefix is there. So, Chandravali is very intimately related. He was asking about Chandravali earlier. She's very intimately related with Srimati Radharani because they're cousin sisters. Radharani's father is Vrishabhanu and her uncle is Subhanu. I believe it's Subhanu. And Subhanu is the father of Chandravali. And it's also explained that when they were both born, and I think it's in Brahmavivartharan, explains that Putana was flying overhead. She was flying overhead, and she saw these two daughters born, and she snatched them. And she picked them up in the air, and she was carrying Radharani and Chandravali, and then she dropped them, and that's how Radharani dropped into the lotus flower. There's a whole long story that's kind of complicated. But Vrishabhanu went to Ravel, and he was worshipping Suryadev to get a daughter. And then all of a sudden he saw Radharani in the middle of a lotus flower. And how she got there, as this whole other pastime is told, that she was somewhere, I don't know where, that she was the daughter of someone else, and then Putana snatched her. That Chandravali and Radharani actually appeared as the daughter of the same father, and then Putana snatched them, and then she was flying with them, and she dropped them in different places. So they're very intimate. They're like sisters, basically. And we even see that, although they're considered to be like antagonists in the Leela, that oftentimes they're together. In the Bhagavatam, when Krishna left the gopis in the Maharaj dance, all the gopis were there, Chandravali and her party, and Radharani and her party, and all the new gopis were there. So many different categories of gopis, and sages of Dandakaranya, and the personified Vedas, took gopi roops, and the princesses from Ayodhya, and the demigoddesses, and so many categories, and the murtis that Ram engaged in when Sita was banished to the forest. He made murtis of Sita, and then those murtis came to life, and they wanted to enjoy with Ram, and he said, forget it, but maybe in Krishna Leela. So all those murtis of Sita, they came as gopis. There's only a whole bunch of categories. So when they were all there, then Krishna, of course, Radharani left, one that rasa dance, she left, but there's another rasa dance where Krishna left, or when Krishna was in that rasa dance, when he left Radharani, when she became proud, then all the gopis came together to look for Radha and Krishna, and then and Chandravali was there, and then she was feeling sorry also, some feeling sorry. When she met Radharani, then Radharani and Chandravali and all the gopis together went to look and search for Krishna. So there are many times when they're together and trying to find Krishna and all suffering together in separation from the Lord. Chandravali is a very, very special personality. And she serves in a wonderful way to increase the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna. She's completely favorable to Radharani. She just adopts a mood of being her antagonist, trying to pull Krishna away. But even sometimes Radharani sends Krishna to Chandravali. He says, oh, she must be missing you, go see her. Because basically, of all the gopis, two are prominent. They say there's 16,000, there's millions of gopis, now those millions, 16,000 are the most prominent. And of the 16,000 is the 8 gopis. And then of those 8 gopis, then it lists those 8 gopis, it says like Lalita and Vishaka and Shaivya and Shaivya and Padma and then Chandravali and Radharani. So even the 8, it says of all the 16,000, 8 that are most prominent. And of those 8, some of them are in Chandravali's party and some are in Radharani's party. And it says of all those 8, there's 2 that are most prominent and most dear to Krishna. Who are those 2 gopis that are most dear to Krishna? Not Radharani and Lalita, it's Radharani and Chandravali. So Radharani and Chandravali are the two most dearest gopis to Krishna. But out of the 2, who's the most dear?
Radharani.
Radharani.
Because it's declared everywhere.
And Chandravali knows it. She knows it. She knows I know, she's the best, but anyway. And so she simply enhances the pastimes of the Lord by increasing Radharani's attachment for Krishna and providing, in other words, man, the whole man lila. Man is one of the types of prema, one of the exchanges of love. It's man. And what's the basis of man?
Love.
No, but what's the... without this thing, there would be no man. Without Chandravali, there's no man. She's the basis. It's a type of prema called man where she gets jealous, kind of jealous or... jealous anger, transcendental loving anger. She's jealous. Oh, you're with Chandravali, right? There's always so many things. Where are you? Why are you late? And she gets stood up and he goes, So that's the whole type of love that we never hear about Chandravali's man. Of course, she must have her man also because, she gets stood up. But the man is always, Manini is Radharani. That's her name, is Manini. But to provide for that wonderful loving ecstasy, that is that service is done. That service, that loving service to provide for man is done by Chandravali. And when Radharani was coronated the queen of Vrindavan, Chandravali was there. She wasn't like pouting off in the distance somewhere, oh, I'm not going to take part. Why should she be the queen of Vrindavan? But she was there at the coronation. So they're very much friends, although they take kind of like opposite parties, so to speak. Anyway, Krishna, 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 hey.
Krishna, 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 Krishna,